All right, I see by the clock on my phone that it's 4 o'clock, so let's open up this meeting, August 6, 2026, and I'll look back at my agenda here. Jumps right into Mr. Ryan. And are you wait, was there a guest appearance
Yes,
today as well?
she should be on any minute now. Just
Okay.
getting the right links. There's a couple different links going on. There's like the main board meeting, and then the one for the work session. So I just sent her the one for this, so she should be on shortly.
I think I sent her that one as well.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Yeah, we can dive into it shortly here. I want to give her a chance to join first.
Deb Gilardi.
Yeah.
Like she's on, but muted. Well,
Yep.
there she is.
Hey, Deb.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, so Deb was the financial utility rate consultant that assisted us with the wastewater feasibility study originally back in 2019, 2020. So, familiar with this, and we've asked her to join in and kind of be the subject matter expert for this topic of the DMP.
Nice.
Covering financial management. So I'll hand it over to you, Deb, if there's anything more you want to say about your work experience and firm services
Sure.
going on.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everybody. Yeah, I've been doing utility rates and systems development charges for the last 30 years, and done a lot of work in Central Oregon. Currently working actually on some water rate stuff for the city of Redmond. And so I'm familiar with the area, and obviously Ryan and I have worked together before, so happy to be here to answer questions if needed.
So yeah, my name is Tim Brown. I'm the resident and or board member for the Terrebonne Sanitary District. And then everybody else want to give your insights?
I'm Kristen Yurden. I'm the treasurer for the Terrebonne Sanitary District. Nice to meet you.
You too.
And I'm Katie Stratton. I'm the secretary for the district.
And I'm Linda Swearingen. I'm a consultant for the district.
Guy Vernon, board member for the district and property owner in Terrebonne.
Yeah, I think we're all property owners, so that's a good comment, though, to make. So, Deb, you want to lead this, or Ryan, you want to lead it, or how do we go through this? You want
Sure, yeah.
to step through them like we did last time?
We can pop it open and walk through updates. Dev does have to leave a little bit earlier
So
than
do you
5
want to
o'clock.
concentrate on where she might be most interested?
Yeah, I think that might be good. I'll just do a broad overview first of the updates made to the DMP for review under this work session. Obviously, Chapter 6 was the big push addressing rates and charges, the financial management chapter, including rates and charges, system development charges, late fees, penalties, collection enforcement, budgeting reserves, billing and collections, and financial reporting, review, and future documents related to this chapter. There were also some, based on the discussion about SDCs, there were some updates that we made to some of the mainline extension scenarios that were discussed previously, and the cost recovery methods. It came into focus a little bit more on just how SDCs can be involved in that and the limitations of how credits can be applied for mainline extensions, namely just the improvement fee portion, not this reimbursement portion. From what I had gathered, that was an update worth making. We also, there was some There was a comment from the last meeting about exploring methods other than just a local improvement district, because those have their challenges for cost recovery. So some narrative was added for that regarding organized groups of owners and cost recovery tools for that.
Right.
Yeah, that's an overview of what has changed. Was there anything that stood out to you, Deb, that you'd like to advise on or comment on, or anything that the board thought was fuzzy and needed some discussion?
Well, Deb, what's your timeline? When are you trying to be out of here?
Oh, I just have to. It was my understanding your meeting goes till 5, and I just said to Ryan, I've got to leave about 5 minutes before 5. So.
Okay, perfect. I just want to make sure I understand your
Yeah,
correctly. Sure.
appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, I have comments and clarifications desired on all or both packages, but you
Okay.
want to start with that, or you want to start with Deb? Did you have anything you wanted to point out?
No, I thought Ryan did an excellent job laying it all out. I mean, obviously this is not presenting the rates and the details of all of that, but it includes all of the elements that I would include in the just kind of the general district, financial management components.
Yeah, we're not looking to be unique. So
Yeah.
if you see something that's not the way other people do it, we want to know about that.
Yeah, for sure. No, there was nothing that jumped out at me as needing correction.
Okay. So
Have
Ryan,
one.
my recommendation would be just to kind of start on chapter six and start paging through it, and we
Go.
can call out things as they get to them, as we've kind of done in the past. If that's good for everybody else.
I'd like to just ask a pretty general question, be short in length.
Good.
So I guess my understanding is SDC charges go to pay back the infrastructure that we put in the ground and will put in the ground. And the monthly revenue from use goes to pay for operating and maintaining the system. Am I thinking about that correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. The rates could also have a capital component. There's, the capital reserves are just sort of, ongoing routine capital outlay. At some point, repair, replacement, with a new system. Hopefully, you won't be needing that for a while. But yeah, generally, it's operation, maintenance, replacement kind of costs, and then, and debt service, if you've got, there's a timing issue, right? Of you've got people that are going to connect earlier on, and then others are going to come later. And so the rates have to pay for all of the annual costs and then be supplemented with systems development charges as they come in. There's always a timing issue with systems development charges because you have to build the facilities before people connect. But those are going to have ongoing costs no matter when people connect. So the rates have to carry the burden of everything so you can pay your bills.
Okay, so there's a little co-mingling there where some of the revenue will go to service the debt of the existing infrastructure we put in the beginning.
Yeah, the systems development charges are by law limited to capital costs and including debt service. So, you can repay, assuming that there's revenue. Systems development charges are variable because they're dependent on development activity. And so, the rates need to be set to recover the annual costs, which you will need to review each year and determine what those are. And then, to the extent that systems development charges are available, they can also be used to pay some of the debt. So if you get more system development charges in 1 year than you anticipated, that just, you can hold those in reserve and then use those to fund more of the debt service or other capital costs in the next year.
I have one question on the system development charges versus the rates. Rates, I would assume, would always fluctuate based on the economy, how many people are hooked in, what the services are. With SDC charges, once you set them, are they always set like that, or can they be adjusted as well?
Yeah, good question. So the SDCs by law can, generally you'll set an SDC based on the capital there's the forward looking and the backward looking. So if it's set based on future improvements, you've got some capital improvement plan, you set the SDC. You don't need to update that SDC unless the capital improvement plan changes. And you certainly don't need to update for any facilities that were already built, except for the fact that under statute, you're allowed to index the SDCs based on the rate of inflation as determined by a published index like the Engineering News Record Construction Cost Index or the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. Some sort of inflationary component. Otherwise, they stay at, generally at the levels that you've calculated them, unless there's some need to update to reflect some higher cost or additional capital improvement project that wasn't anticipated when you set those.
Such as like your district was larger than you originally planned, something of that nature, or like what would increase that, or
Oh, just if some new capital improvement is identified. In your case, it's a little different because it's new. It's like a new system. And so presumably you've got, but if the SDCs are set based on some estimated cost and then that improvement gets built and it comes in at 2 times what you estimated, then you'd want to recalculate them. Or conversely, if it comes in lower, the actual cost is less than what you anticipated, then you could reduce them. But it's generally the SDCs would only change if there's some change to the cost of the infrastructure, the number of EDUs over which you're spreading those. Sure, if you have fewer or more, but once these are in place, those who paid in to the systems development charge, you can't go back and you're not going to go back and refund them or whatever. So it's, you do the best you can to estimate both the cost and the number of EDUs over which they're going to serve, and then you set those, and then you'd adjust as necessary going forward.
Thank you.
That's very helpful. Thanks, Deb.
How often would you see cities or municipalities adjusting those, Deb?
Usually it's in the with some change in like a master plan or facility plan.
So,
So
10-year
it's
type
not
thing, 5-year type thing?
exactly. Other than the inflationary component, which most utilities will change them each year as the in inflation, so that so the buying power of those SDCs stay consistent.
So without a capital improvement plan, how would the district go about that? Do they need a collection system master plan officially to provide a CIP for a rate consultant like yourself to do the SDC study?
Well, it doesn't, technically the law says, a system plan or a capital improvement plan or something to that effect. You would have to adopt a project list. Excuse me. As part of the SDC adoption process. So usually you adopt three things. One is a project list. These are the projects that we intend to fund with SDCs. And then a methodology, that says translate that project list into an SDC, and then the SDC schedule. So that's, for every single family home, we're going to charge X. For a multifamily, we're going to charge Y. For a commercial, the EDU kind of schedule. So those are the three components. So that capital improvement plan can be adopted as part of that SDC
Okay.
process.
Got it. Yeah, this is just the preliminary numbers that we've included in the pro forma, which you helped us prepare years back, for estimating where SDCs would land. This does not replace the need, I think, for a rate study, but just to kind of get an idea of where things might be headed. Does this reflect proper methodology, though, at a high level in terms of past projects being the phase A collection system, which has not yet completely happened yet? But by the time of setting rates, it will have happened, perhaps next year. Then the wastewater treatment capacity is kind of arguably past and future. There's a ultimate cost of 2.2 million. 1 million of that's covered by the county. 1.2 responsible to the district to kind of repay over time, but it's really for future capacity they don't need yet. But it's kind of paying for the remainder of the treatment capacity. And then we've simply put phase B and C collection system expansion cost out there. And that's to pipe the rest of the community, really, in theory, with no grant coverage assumed. I guess one question I have is, does the number of EDUs, is that typically just the full build out EDUs, or is it more closely tied to those benefited by a specific project, not the whole?
No, it's usually it's system wide. You just have to make sure that the numerator and the denominator of the unit cost equation match. So if you're it meaning that if you're including phase A construction costs, say you're including phase A construction costs only, and that's going to serve phase A EDU, then you would divide only phase A cost divided by phase A EDUs. If you're going to set the SDC based on the whole build out, then you would include all the costs and all the EDUs together. For treat, that makes sense for treatment capacity, right?
Yeah,
Because
because
that's
everyone uses it.
yeah. And the other thing is that if there are costs that are going to be private, you're asking people to fund certain private, development, upfront costs, then obviously the SDC is generally for the system infrastructure that the district will be paying for. So
Yeah.
to the extent that that's all district costs, then net of the grants, as you've correctly reduced the cost by, then yeah, that's the way it goes.
So
Okay, so
when you say that you reduce the cost of the infrastructure by the amount of grant money we received, is that correct? Yeah, well, that makes sense because it was paid with public funds, so we're not really deserve to get paid back for something that we didn't pay.
Exactly.
So it just, if we have to borrow money, because Kristen, part of that is a forgivable loan, right? Hello?
50% of the Clean Water State Revolving Fund is a forgivable loan, so up to $2 million, and then we have the $2.4 million that of a, in grant money that we received.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So,
So the
is
amount
a
that we would be
forgivable
left.
loan fall under the same as a grant? I guess that's my question.
Yes.
It does. Okay. So,
Yeah.
just the money that we have to be repaying, that portion of it, say in phase one, we can charge to SDCs to pay that back.
Yeah, and you could even include interest costs So to the extent that that's being financed by the, clean, even though, those are generally smaller, much lower interest loans, but it's still, there's still a carrying cost there. And
Okay.
so it's not uncommon to, like the city of Bend, in their transportation SDCs, they are using SDCs to pay for a portion of the debt service. And so it includes both the principal amount as well as the present value of the future interest payments that would be associated with each EDU.
Okay, that makes sense.
So this would represent the maximum that the district could charge, but does that mean they then have the flexibility to charge less and absorb that cost through rates and debt service payments?
With it's a zero sum game, so you got to pay, for it one way or another. So it just becomes a an equity and fairness issue of, and a timing issue of what you want to recover through the SDCs. If you're trying to get people to connect and you're don't want to provide a disincentive, then keeping
Well,
the
that's, I
SDCs.
think, one thing that we're concerned about is that, from my understanding, is the system needs a certain amount of flow for it to even work. So I don't know what the minimum amount of connections we need, and Ryan, you probably know this, for the system to actually work, because if we open and there's no connection because nobody wants to spend that much money or can spend that much money, which it is a low income area, then the kind of system doesn't work in general, right?
Yeah,
So
160
I,
is the number where things are okay, year one and two.
so it, we need to get 160 connections year one and two, is what you're saying.
Yeah, basically. And then year two is
Okay.
170. So it's a quick ramp up. And this is a projection, a target, but I think the first 2 years could be a little imperfect.
So I might need to save this to talk. Linda and Katie and I were going to talk about the new, I don't know if you guys saw, there's a new grant that Kate Brown put out this last week. For $10 million, and we're obviously going to apply for that. And one thought would be to apply for SDC charges for the first, for homes that actually exist and are like just doing conversion, because with the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, you can qualify for SDC funding for sewer, septic to sewer conversion in established homes. Because it is a new system, and that could possibly help us pay back at least the first $1 million.
I guess with regard to rates, I was curious how to what the denominator is based on this formula, because the number of billable EDUs is unknown.
Oh, well, I was going to say, you've got it exactly right. It's the projected billable EDUs, and the in a new system startup, that's the devil's in the details, I guess, and how you project those EDUs. So, it's got, to the best you can in terms of the planning process and the requirements to connect or not.
Yeah, it isn't a strict connection mandate connection. It's if anything, I mean, the sewer use ordinance is it outlines what that is, and generally it is voluntary. There are some cases though where connection is expected, like if the system's failing or if it's on a drill hole, like those types of scenarios, connection is required. How those are triggered, I think, relates to the county environmental health division and other things that externally could lead to sewer. Also, new construction has to connect. I think there's a couple other scenarios, but functioning residential septic systems can continue as they are until they fail. So, yeah, there's some uncertainty about what that hookup or that will be But the district's been looking at it, incentives to encourage early connection. And so I guess one question pertaining to this and that is how you do the math with early connection incentives and say offering a discount. How does that math work so that the district's not shorting itself,
Right.
absorbed by rates or future customers somehow? Like, how is that? Where does that money come from? Does it have to be grant funded?
Well, and this, gets into the do you want to charge the SDCs up front or just have so as I recall when the City of Sisters had to, well, see, it, this was a had to. It's a much, when it's a voluntary connect, it becomes difficult to estimate. You maybe have a certain number of known connections in terms of new growth and the other examples you provided, but then you have to make some assumption about the conversion rate, the rate of conversion, a number of people who would actually want to connect. If the big upfront costs, and maybe you allow them to, finance the SDCs over a period of time. So it's because you don't have that barrier to the initial connection. So that's something that many cities will do is to allow for some sort of deferral or payment plan with interest generally for paying those SDCs. Otherwise, the rates have to include a larger debt component if the system's being funded that way. And that would fluctuate based on the rate of connection. So there's uncertainty there and risk, I guess, for early, people who connect early of having to pay kind of more than their fair share up front. I don't know what the math, how the math works out with comparing to the costs of having your own private system and maintaining and all of that. So I don't know how the economics work out for an individual ratepayer.
There's a couple potential ratepayers here in the room, the virtual room, maybe can comment on the economics of it. But yeah, it depends on each property condition, but I think generally the value gained by connecting exceeds the cost of connecting and converting with a
Yeah.
septic pump. But yeah, I mean, some like the grocery store spent $500,000 on an on-site system upgrade or repair, and it still is having trouble. So
Yeah.
SDC and in the hundreds of thousands could likely still be justified. I mean, they might
Got
not
it.
exist if their system fails. So it's pretty desperate in some situations. In others, it's more
Yeah.
opportunistic, like now we can build a neighborhood kind of mentality.
Yeah.
It's just
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and they also, the system has other costs associated with it than just your SDC. Unlike other systems, they still have to have like a tank and a pump. So it is like even without the SDCs, they're going to be paying something. So I think that's why we're trying to have some incentives to maybe cushion the blow a little bit and entice people to connect.
But those financing plans, do for a small district like this, could there be a, are there like third party financing like companies that can help with that? Or does the district have to figure that out in-house? And how to provide that, or maybe it's just a payment plan with interest, which
Yeah, I think it's just a payment. I mean, I don't generally get into those details, but obviously, yeah, for a city or a larger utility that's been well established, it's a cash flow thing of we're just going to, when we build our financial plan, project out rather than big lump sums coming in, we're gonna project out just, the annual amount of those principal and interest payments from the financed connection charges. So, yeah. but it means that there's less revenue coming from that source, and the rates will have to bear more, which everybody will pay a share of. But as you get more and more connections, theoretically, the cost per connection, certainly for the operation and maintenance, is going to be lower.
So it comes down, you think, is that likely to happen where the rates over time could come down or just maybe remain flat? It just creates a scenario where the early adopters really have to.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess a little bit of you tell me, because what I understand from most utility operators and planners is that there are very few variable costs, that most of it's fixed, but usually that's like staffing and debt service and that kind of stuff, and it's chemicals and maybe some electricity that would vary.
We
So
can
you've
scale
got
up
kind of
with
this,
customer base.
so your cost is not going to increase at the same rate of your customers. And in fact, with a startup like this, it's really challenging because, yeah, you've got an issue of sorry. The You've got this fixed cost that you got to recover. And so you got to recover it from whoever is there initially to pay those bills.
Ryan, on the initial 160 EDUs that you have connecting, isn't that exactly how many EDUs actually exist in phase A?
I think w much more now that the system has expanded.
Okay, but which ones? I'm not talking about what properties that could be developed. I'm talking about people that are actually connected to water and have a septic tank.
Right. Well, given the annexations along C Avenue and 19th and other annexations along the line, I think we're looking at over 200 existing EDUs that have sewer frontage. With the addition of the central main, you could be looking at a lot more. And so I think the potential of hitting 160 is better than before, given the annexation and addition of that North Interceptor.
And are these all properties that have houses or businesses, or are these some vacant lots that are we're talking or including in that?
No, yeah, we wouldn't include vacant lots in that.
Well, not just so these are houses that would convert.
Yep, that's the idea. So perhaps that's 160 of 250 existing. Maybe that's, yeah. 60%
That's better than
adoption rate.
100%.
Yeah. Big ones will be the school, the mobile home park, right, guy? And the grocery store. You know, those are the big ones. And then homes here and there, businesses. Yeah. Another dynamic that we're showing here that's you know, this is to present a pathway for things to work, but it'll likely be different than this exactly. But we're utilizing initial SDCs to pay down the Clean Water State Revolving Fund principal before it is kind of converted from a construction loan to a long-term loan. And so that does a lot to really reduce the debt service year over year. If this number's lower, you know, say it's just half of this, then debt service goes up. There's a trade-off of upfront capital, but the idea is deploying it upfront against the principal does a lot to lighten that load. And so then that would drive up rates a little more. But yeah, does the district kind of have that flexibility, I guess, to cover capital costs with SDCs or debt service kind of in combination?
Well, yeah, definitely. I don't know how DEQ, like I'm assuming you start some meetings with what is it, the one-stop kind of meetings, and maybe you've already done some of that, I don't know, but the that you would get some authorization to start drawing construction during construction, doing these draws. And if, I don't know the timing in terms of the payment of the SDCs, and the willingness of the agency to give you the money, then to have you pay them back before the, and recalculate the debt service based on that lower amount. I don't know exactly how that works. I've never been involved in that kind of a financing agreement, but I would think that there would be some flexibility there. So that would be something to talk to the agency directly about.
Yes, we have, and they provided a debt service calculation incorporating that pay down with 1.2 million in upfront SDC fees. It's just we do these have these perfect numbers, Here's the plan. It'll all come
Yes.
together and
Right.
fund it before we refinance and amortize over 30 years. But the timing might not work out perfectly, but that could mean that less goes to principal pay down, but then the district has a larger ending fund balance from SDCs. So if they are in trouble on an annual or monthly basis in terms of operations and rates, but have a healthy balance, what can that do to help with maybe a shortage on can you
Well,
transfers?
yeah, SDCs can't be used to pay for operation and maintenance costs. They can be used for debt service. So, yeah, you could pay for the annual debt service out of the SDCs that you've got in reserve.
Okay, so say, I mean, that's the biggest, well, it's a large portion, anyways, of the operations cost, right? It's kind of in between because apparently it could be served by either SDC fund or operations. But if so, this debt service coverage ratio is the is comparing what the sum of
Well,
all the operations.
where's the debt service coverage that you're talking about?
Yeah, there's something hidden here. I think it's the sum, the total. Let's see. Comparing the total
Yeah,
debt.
so the cash available, so right now the beginning balance, the charges for services is the rates, right? Is what you're saying. So you haven't assumed that the SDCs, you can't have a negative cash available after debt service. So what we would have to assume is that SDCs are paying for a certain amount of the debt service. Yeah.
Okay, so that's possible for some of
Oh, sure.
that money to move up here. Because the idea
Yes.
is, I mean, ultimately or ideally, you set rates to cover so that after paying OM and R, there's enough money to cover the debt service, right? We've got
Yes,
this much left and this much today, so that's good.
absolutely,
But if
absolutely.
it's negative, SDCs can cover those debt bills.
Well, SDCs can cover those regardless. It's just how much are you going to rely on SDCs coming in versus setting the rates? If it's in the bank, if the SDC money is in the bank because you got that money up front and you're saving some in reserve to pay off the debt service, then that's great. If it's not in the door already in in your reserves, then how sure are you that in any given year that more SDC revenue is going to come in versus needing to set your rates to recover the full debt service? That's the conundrum, right?
The encouraging thing is I think what that does is gives the district some runway and flexibility
Yes.
to maybe cover debt service in the first couple of years when this number might or might not be met. Say it's, I don't know, if it's 80 the first couple of years, then they're only bringing in 72K, but debt service is, Yeah, they can't cover it. But that service could at least be like, so you can see here, operating revenues are sufficient for what the OM&R would be, but not for debt service, in which case SDCs could help with that. Although there's an ending fund balance issue that's created here, obviously. But
Yeah, and that's what the rates really need to have some amount of overage to at least a contingency amount, or like a 30 days of O&M is generally what's considered to be a minimum reserve, operating reserve. So
30 days of O&M.
yeah, so just the O&M costs divided by 365 days times 30 would be what you would want. And you set that aside once, and then in future years, it's only as the O&M grows that you have to contribute to that, unless, for whatever reason, you have to draw on that because your costs come in higher than you anticipated. Then you got to kind of replenish that reserve, right?
So, Ryan, give me some history as to how all these spreadsheets were developed. And Deb, have you been involved in any of this, and/or is that what you're going to be helping us with as we get closer to doing our rate study and doing all that stuff?
So these were developed in coordination with Deb as a part of the wastewater feasibility study. And then
Okay.
over time
In
we
2019 or whatever it was.
Yeah. You want to answer the second part, Deb?
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, we don't, I'm not, remind me, Ryan, I don't think we have a contract, right?
No, not for this
Yeah,
project. Couple other
I'm not
years.
under, I'm just appearing today as a, expert to attend your meeting. So
Yep.
I don't have a scope at this point in time. And so I guess at this point, there is no anticipated additional services unless that changes.
Yes, but assuming Ryan's group or we or however that works out hires you to help with the rate study, you would analyze these spreadsheets in effort.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we, it's like, okay, it's been however many years. What do we know today? How did these numbers all change and put together a plan? Yeah.
Honestly, I think these as perhaps an engineer's feasibility analysis table has been stretched maybe farther than it should. There's kind of a transition point where it's like, okay, this is no longer like engineering feasibility. This is
Yeah, sure.
detailed accounting and utility rate modeling, which is where Deb steps in and I step back. But I can work on, capital improvement plans and estimated costs associated with those. So that's kind of
Okay.
how going forward.
Kind of to me, it feels like we're getting pretty darn close to that stage if we're not already there, because we got to be able to tell customers what a anticipated SDC looks like. And watching Ryan play with the numbers, it went from 7,000 to 18,000 or 17,000. And so when you multiply that by 40 SDCs, that starts becoming a little extra change.
Well, I think the key is going to be when we get our bids for the
Yes.
because it and our final grant slash financing, like how we're going to pay for it. That is going to sum things up. I think we just don't have a big number to divide by yet.
Correct, but ultimately those numbers are going to be pretty easy to plug in, assuming we have the right logic.
Well, I'm assuming we do.
Well, I'm assuming we do too, but I'm wanting confirmation that we do.
Well, some of it's going to be an assumption because no one knows how many people are going to hook up. So we have to assume that number.
Correct, but in order to do the rate study, we have to have all the correct things accounted for, whether it has the right number in it or not. just like, in the Excel spreadsheet, you can change the numbers fairly easy. As long as the logic is sound, then
Right.
that's what we need to make sure of. That's what I'm feeling like I want to feel more comfortable with sooner than later.
Okay.
I'd hate to get to, well, now we got a bid. Oh yeah, that's deceased or $22,000. And then we're scrambling pretty heavy.
Do you anticipate that? I mean, I don't see that because a good portion of the work has been done with grant money, which doesn't get included in the SDC calculation.
And the sensitivity here is relatively low. It's a portion of the
Yeah.
SDC fee. If it's 8 instead of 6 million, it's a $9,000 SDC fee versus the 6 million that we projected. So there is an effect, but it wouldn't jump up quite like that.
Right, but the bid number also gets subtracted by grant money and forgivable portion of the loan. So that seems to me like it's going to be a minimum of 30%.
30% what?
30% of the bid cost.
Oh, the grant is far
That's
more.
what he's got, the 4.4 million.
4.4 million. Could be 60%.
Well,
But it
yeah.
depends on
Well,
what the bid is, the capital cost. We'll
well,
see.
right. Well, yeah. So that cost, if it's 60%, is going to be much. That's going to be the top number, and then what you divide it by is your number of SDCs. And so, yeah, it goes way down.
Yeah, because
I
we
agree with
subtract
all
out
that,
grant coverage.
assuming the logic is correct. And I'm not sure I'm understanding that. Either Deb was fully involved in this, or everybody feels like this is fully correct. If we feel like it's fully correct,
No,
then I'm good.
this is
But I'm,
preliminary.
that's why I was saying, yeah, you were saying you may have stepped beyond your engineering expertise into Deb's.
Yeah.
Okay. And
Well,
so.
right. It's Kim, but. I mean, we just had to make a lot of assumptions in the beginning. We
I'm
didn't
not
know
saying it's
how
a bad
to.
idea. I'm just saying we need to get it figured out sooner than later. When the end comes up, we don't want to say, oops, we had a bad
Yeah.
spreadsheet.
Right. But what Deb is saying is that our methodology is correct. We just have to put our realistic numbers on, if I'm hearing what she's saying.
It's like the biggest risk factor is if the construction costs come in like double or something like that, then that's going to be the bigger problem than I think the way the methodology is
So, Deb,
laid
is that
out.
what I'm hearing you say?
Well, it sounds to me like you have uncertainty in both the cost side and the EDU side, right?
But the logic
And
is sound.
well, this logic, which logic? Just the overall, I mean,
The
the way it's laid out in
spreadsheet.
the spreadsheet. So I haven't looked at this spreadsheet in many years. I'm just sort of going through it quickly here on the screen. Generally,
Okay. I'm not asking you to
we're not
certify it. I just wanted to make
yeah.
sure Ryan, again, understanding that it's not his expertise, consulted with you as I understand it, but you feel like he represented it appropriately in the spreadsheet. May have been your spreadsheet for that matter. I don't know. But I just want to make sure we're all using a good sound model to get to the point where we could input numbers that tells us the right number output.
Yeah, we collaborated in 2018, 19, whatever year it was, to put together the spreadsheet.
Okay.
I would need to go back and look at the
Sure.
spreadsheet again to make sure, it's just
Which would be
to
something you would
review
do as
the
part of a rate
assumptions and
study,
the
correct?
methodology. It's just been too much time elapsed that I
Sure.
can't just, bless it without taking another look at
I understand that. I'm not asking for that. I just want to make sure
it. Yeah,
it,
and it's
yeah.
that's not to say anything bad about Ryan. It's just it's been too much time to,
Sure. No, I'm not slighting his capabilities in any fashion either. I'm just trying to make sure we are all on the same. You're comfortable with the logic. You weren't involved in this, to my knowledge. early on, so I didn't know how deeply you were involved in it originally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it shows right on that plan that we're discussing, the formula to come up with your SDCs. And
Yep.
Ryan can bring that up, and it's just what's the top number, how you get to that, and the bottom number, how you get to that, and that's your number.
That's the how you get to that is the question I'm having.
Yeah, it's just
I'm wanting to make sure we're all on the same
that
page.
in regard to what, Tim?
Well, there's no specific question other than if we have to do a red rate study anyhow, would it not behoove us to involve Deb into this conversation sooner, meaning within the next year, as opposed to saying, okay, we finally got a construction bid, here it is, because all's that would do would be to update the spreadsheet. If we had the spreadsheet and everything was good to go, then all we do is punch in the new number. But if we don't know the spreadsheet's good, then I don't know if that takes a week or takes 6 weeks or 6 months to figure out, are we doing the right logic?
Well, maybe Deb can describe what the rate study would involve.
Okay.
I think generally next year would be great timing, and we've applied for funding, right? The district did for a rate study.
Yep.
We have a grant for the funding. We have a grant for the rate study.
For next year?
It was the one that we just got from well, we have to still sign it, but it was the last planning grant we signed for.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah,
There
additional
you
annexation and
go.
rate study.
Oh,
So my
that's
question is, why
amazing.
not do it short of having the construction costs? Was there a negative to getting that started, I guess?
I think we have to sign the loan with the Clean Water State Revolving Fund planning grant people.
Okay.
So, and we need a couple things for that.
That's fine. I'm
That
just
I
trying to
could,
figure out.
but I don't disagree with you. I mean, I think the more we get, like, I think if we keep waiting for every single thing in line, it's just going to take us
Right.
very long. So if we could get them kind of going in tandem, that would be helpful. That is assuming we could do some preliminary work before we get the actual numbers, which I would think we
Right.
probably could.
To answer your question, Ryan, the rate study is basically just projecting out the costs and the looking at capital financing assumptions generally, but to the extent that so it's helpful to know the capital costs, and then you've got some of the structure of the capital financing already with respect to already having some loan or grant and principal forgiveness stuff. And doing some more analysis on and updating assumptions, I guess, and scenario analysis it can include when there's a lot of uncertainty, looking at different options.
So,
So,
Deb,
yeah.
when is the best time to do the rate study in our situation?
Well, the best time to do rate studies is when you know everything. No, you need to do it in advance of when you're going to start charging, obviously, right?
Yes.
But so I don't know the timing well enough of the situation here in terms of when you're going to have a better sense of the costs and start construction and all that. So, but yeah, you're going to need to do it early enough to, I mean, you've got two different issues here. You've got the communication with potential customers about what the costs are, and that I, it's my understanding with the feasibility study back when was trying to give a high level estimate as to what you could anticipate. Was it even
Sure.
feasible? So one beyond that, then it's really getting into what would you actually be charged, and to the extent that some of the big numbers are known, like the construction costs, it's usually more about at the implementation phase as opposed to just kind of the feasibility stage. So, but
Yeah.
when you go to generally with clean water SRF kind of funds, you're going to need to produce a pro forma that,
Yes.
and maybe you've already done that. I
That's what
don't
this was used
know.
for.
Okay. So yeah, then the rate study would be just to take that, update the assumptions, and then figure out, you can't really do SDCs until you know what the construction costs are. That really does require a better estimate. So, I mean, yeah, it's a little bit of a challenge. I don't, of what the exact best timing for you is, I can't advise on that at this point in time.
I think the board should consider early next year, maybe getting you
Yeah,
set.
that kind of sounds right to me too. I'm just saying it. We don't want to wait till the last day of construction bids and then say, oh, well, that just screws everything.
Yeah, well, I know it's 4:55. Thank you so much, Deb,
Yeah,
for joining. I'm
sorry
so
to
glad
have
you
to
joined
run.
us. No, it was
Yeah,
very,
all
very
right.
helpful, Deb.
Yeah.
Thank you very much
Yeah.
for your time.
Thank
Yeah.
you, betcha. Okay. All right. I'll talk to you later, Ryan.
Thank you. Yeah.
Bye
Thank you.
bye.
Bye. So yeah, that was very, I think that was valuable.
Yeah, she's very intelligent, knows her stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I would be happy to pass the torch to her with regard to these financial
Yeah, I
matters.
understand your position.
That's an example of what a rate study would look like. So it's not just an update to the spreadsheet to make it official. That might be an attachment to something like this, but this is an example of the City of Redmond's sewer SDC. That provides, you know, an official report that serves as a basis for the rate and fee resolution that you would pass. So you would, so something prepared by someone like Deb or FCS Group, for example, would be that basis for your future rate and fees. So yeah, that's an idea of what that looks like. Perhaps there's an early, like there's work for that she could assist with earlier on for the purposes of customer communication, not as an official rate, like these are the rates, but based on all these numbers and these inputs, here's the range of estimated costs and the kind of areas of uncertainty to maybe describe those with more clarity or something, or kind of expert input, so to speak. To then start communicating with the public over, you know, in the early months of 2027, when you're getting ready to break ground, and they can start making plans to connect or whatever, save up for it, prepare mentally and emotionally for it.
Yeah, everybody's going to ask that question first. How much does it cost me?
Yep. And so, yeah, she might be able to help answer that question in the interim at this level. I mean, you can work with what you have, but if you want a second opinion on it, then maybe that's something she could help out with prior to bidding. And then I think halfway through the construction phase would be a good time to really pin those numbers down and then start getting your rate and fee resolution
Okay.
dialed in the second half of construction.
That sounds fine to me. I just was not clear. No slight on your behalf, Ryan. How much information, how you develop all this spreadsheet, which is a fairly complicated spreadsheet. Not that you couldn't do it on your own, but I didn't know how much assistance you had and how that came about. So I was
Yeah, I've
curious.
adapted the spreadsheet she provided
Okay.
originally. So this is her spreadsheet with adaptations.
Okay.
So.
Has anybody talked to any locals as far as like what the costs that they're concerned about? Are they concerned about the monthly rates, the SDC rates, both of them? Is there one that seems to be more problematic or that they have bigger thoughts about? I mean, because we already have an estimate on like what the on-site costs are, right? So we should be able to give them, this is what a tank costs, this is what a pump costs.
Right.
But we don't have an SDC cost and we don't have a rate yet. So
Correct.
I'm just curious, like, what would make them embrace the system more? Lower rates, lower SDCs, both?
I think it's going to be both.
Agree with that.
I don't know if it's my place to comment, but you know, you internet bills, phone bills can easily be $150 a month. People pay that.
No,
That's
to me, like I
thousands of
would think it would be
dollars.
hard to come up with like, $8,000 for some people is quite a bit of money. So that's I mean, I think we should consider trying to figure out how to kind of cushion that number somewhat.
And one variable to think about, I think, is what projects are put on the SDC list. What we've included is the entire collection system that remains, as shown on in the PER and in the DMP, right? The collection system, all this. But at the same time, the district has this mainline extension framework that talks about property owners extending their own sewer mains to their property. And so, which is it? Is the district going to extend the mains for them and bake that cost into the SDCs? Or is growth going to pay for growth? I think it's a little different because it's an existing community, right? So growth isn't necessarily paying for growth. There's pockets where growth can pay for growth, kind of following the Redmond mantra. But a lot of this is retrofit. And so that same power of growth and development is maybe not there for system expansion. But if you were to just focus on, say, trunk lines, and not all of these little streets, that could bring down the these costs. Say if this is one and this is one, well now SD, well, $1. Let's do that right. That brings down SDCs quite a bit, but then that takes a lot more mainline extension off of the capital improvement plan and puts more of that on others. And then there's maybe the equity issue of why is my neighbors or the block down gets a mainline for free, but
Well, one of the things, though, is the whole reason why we're doing this plan is to take care of like an environmental hazard and an actual problem that basically the initial users are going to benefit from that, but at the same time, they're also taking the risk of joining the system, and they're probably going to be absorbing more cost in the initial part. So that would be one reason why they get, and also we need a certain number of people to connect. So without enough people connecting, the system doesn't work. So there needs to be some incentive for people to connect. Like, and if there's something in phase B where they have an environmental catastrophe where their systems are failing left and right, like they were in phase A, then we go down the same road and try to get funding for that in the same way,
So are you leaning towards paring back the future extension, the improvement, the capital improvements
Not
for?
necessarily, but I am leaning towards writing this grant for SDCs for the first phase and trying to get those covered.
It's
So we
great.
get 160 connections.
Or at least, a program that they can apply for
Exactly.
based on income or something.
Yep, totally. Because
Awesome.
I think Linda was saying that Lapine, weren't there all their connections paid for originally somehow?
I don't know if that's true or not, but I know that there have been some situations where they have funded them, different communities. So
I think if it's like new development, they're not gonna pay for your connection.
no,
But if like
no.
they're if you're just converting, they will pay. Like, I mean, that's covered for Clean Water State Revolving Fund projects in general. So,
So it doesn't seem like we got through the
No.
worksheets, but we got great information. So do we want to just put these worksheets off to the next work session?
Yeah, we could if you'd like. You've got a handful of comments, it sounds like, right?
I mean, there were consequential comments, but they're comments and stuff. So
Yeah,
I don't know what
I'm
everybody
open.
else's sense of that is. But
That's fine with me.
yeah.
I could
Guy, do
go
you
on
have anything
for
else
a
you're trying to thinking about? Looks like you're kind of contemplating, but you haven't said anything. But
There's always.
yeah.
Well, Yeah, I have some thoughts, but there's, it seems to me like a pretty easiest formula to come up with. I think we limited to the first phase, approximate how many, whether 200, 250, whatever, and it's just not going to be perfect.
Oh, I understand that.
It's
I just
just
look
not,
into
I
it
mean,
out
but
and I'm like,
we have to
sure.
have a starting point. We have to have an assumption. I like the fact that we can take those SDCs, put them in a separate account, or at least in a separate account on our books, right? And if we have to, we can pay our debt service out of that. We don't have to just put it directly towards principal.
Yeah.
And so that gives us a lot of flexibility, because you're going to end up with several hundred thousand dollars right off the bat. And you can put that money somewhere earning interest. You're not allowed to use it for operating and maintenance. And, if you get to the point where you think, okay, we have a little too much in there, then you just knock the principal down. And your payment should go down. So there's some flexibility built into this that, kind of a safety net type thing. And so, I think that's comforting to me. I think we base it on what we're putting in the ground at this time, and then, like Kristen said, if we want to expand it, we know the way. We have the players. Once we show that we're actually up and running, I think our chances of procuring more funds and grants just go up.
Yeah.
Because we'll have a proven track record, and probably the next thing we'll have to do, and I'm not sure who does this, but basically do a business plan for how many people we have to hire and how much it's going to cost us on an annual basis to run the O&M. And then we'll have to do that to set our fees for monthly. So that's what I was thinking.
Okay, Katie, how about you? You've been quiet, which is fine, but just do you have any other things that are making you anxious or feeling good?
I'm just thinking about everything that's been said. Not quite sure if I'm ready to really comment on it and just kind of take it in.
That's good.
But it's a lot to think about.
Totally.
All
Well,
right,
we don't have any
I
public in the
think
meeting,
we're,
so I don't think there's room for public comment. Go ahead, guy.
well, we have some very competent people that, in my opinion, all think clearly. So that's a real plus.
I agree with that.
And, what Ryan said in the beginning is, things are moving in the right direction, and I think that's good.
No, I agree. Totally. I'm not disappointed with where we're going or anything like that. I think we're doing great. Ryan's service has been awesome. And I'm just trying to think of what those things are that we're going to trip on because we're so confident that we know what we're doing.
Well, I'm not expressing overconfidence, but I can see how it gets done and how you
Yeah.
come up with a number.
I can as well.
And we have the methodology. I don't think I need a spreadsheet to do it in. I could do it with division.
Yeah.
So, but I'm sure that's what that thing does. It just automatically gets programmed in. So that's fine too. Yeah, so I think it was a great meeting. It cleared up some of the things I was thinking about and made things easier. So
Good.
I'd like to talk about the 11th meeting.
There's a knock on
Yes,
the 11th.
we have the open
Oh,
house with the
down. Okay.
Terrebonne. Yeah.
How many of us need to come? What's the feeling about it? It's the last email I got today said that they would appreciate us coming, but they don't expect a large turnout. And I don't know if it's because it's summer or it's not in Terrebonne or what
Both,
that.
probably.
So, what's the feeling on our?
I'm happy to go. I'm happy to go. I just the question is, do we want to bring any materials, or do we have anything that we?
Yeah, I have everything.
You do. Okay.
Yep, I'm all good to go. I've got all the materials that we would need. Basically, they're the same materials we had before.
Is
Okay.
it a just a
So
public update or what is it? I don't remember seeing the specifics.
I think it's more commenting on the de on their development plan, and we're just kind of there if people have questions on the sewer system. But I
People
think it's
told the county they liked having us there.
oh, good.
And they would like to have us there again in the future here. So we'll be good to go. Whoever can come, I'll be there. It'd be nice to at least have a one board member.
I can be there. I planned on being there.
Okay.
And
That'd
Guy,
be
are you going
great.
to be there too? Or are you?
I'm gonna try to be there. I have I don't live there, but I can get there. And my plan is to be there, unless something changes. Yeah, there. I think it's the better representation, or we have. Not that you guys aren't good representation, but yeah, I enjoyed the last one.
Good.
Good.
All right. Well, I think nothing else important needed to be said. Let's close this meeting and regroup after. Oops. I
One
see one
thing.
hand up. One
Well,
thing.
August 20th is the next meeting, and that's my birthday. So,
Happy birthday,
Happy
Anthony.
birthday.
It's a
50
big maybe
people
whether I'll
over
be at. What's
again.
that?
50
Yeah,
once
50.
again.
50 again.
Happy
Exactly.
50th.
Yeah, so depending on whether I celebrate it on the week. A day or the weekend. Well, if I'm not there, that's my excuse. I think it's a pretty good one.
It'll work. Yep.
Seems fair. That works.
I was just going to mention real quick, I know we're over, but it may be we met with Taylor Northwest and to discuss the early work package stuff, we being me, Tim, and or me and Guy. They brought up a great idea, I think, for getting an idea of where the bedrock is for, between the Rugman Wetlands Complex and Terrebonne. It without bedrock testing data, contractors will assume that it's just a scratch beneath the surface, and then they are chewing into bedrock, and that drives up bids because of that uncertainty. So, they suggested one thing to tighten up costs would be to do a fairly light, but sufficient bedrock depth investigation along the force main, transmission main between, Redmond and the Redmond Wetlands Complex, perhaps 9 to 12 samples every 1,000 to 1,500 feet. Could be potholing, could be coring or whatnot. There's different methods to just dig until you hit dirt and measure it. Basically, it's not too complicated, but contractors could do it. Geotechnical firms could do it, such as Carlson. So I guess wanted to bring that up to the board to see if that's something you guys wanted to set like a range, a budget for, or a time frame for that work to happen. I think sooner is better, but it may just be that we want that before bidding. So there may be more time. but just wanted to bring up that potential study.
I definitely am in favor of giving them as much information as we can, but I hesitant in giving them information that they rely upon and then find is not accurate, you know, because 5 feet beyond the drill hole that we just did, rock comes up 3 feet and it's
Yeah.
right at the surface, you know, so who's in trouble then? So,
It's a good point.
I just want to cover our butts basically.
And the opposite true, like if they assume it's all bedrock and it's dirt, do they charge you less?
No.
No.
No, of course
No.
not. Which
No,
they
like Ryan
whistle
said, you
all the
can't
way
get
to the
more
Bay Area.
competitive bidding if they know the same information.
Well, it seems that a minor change order would be less than assumption that it's all rock. I mean, what they said is we assume, what was it, 90% rock or something like that. And everybody else will do the same thing. So if that assumption changed and we came back, it wouldn't go to 90%.
Isn't most of the force main along like the side of the road that's already been kind of excavated at some point, or no?
On Northwest Way, that's the case, but that's going to be put in already. And Odin, and what's the one that goes north and south, Brian?
Yeah, that's 19th. And so we've looked into that and would actually suggest doing giving an alternate a bid alternate alignment for installations outside of the roadway. And we've penciled in or sketched in specific locations where they could consider going out of the roadway. And then it's up to contractors to put forward both numbers. The base bid alignment, which is center of lane the whole way, or certain spots where you can jump out of the road, go along. There's stretches where it's open. There's not a complete run all the way through, but there's a good, 2,000 feet in the shoulder that's wide open. Why not take it? So that's kind of the rationale to just see, if there are cost savings to that approach. It does result in a bit of meandering, which is maybe it's less consistent ultimately, but. And there's a chance that, someone's banged a T-post too deep. They shouldn't be getting 3 feet deep with a T-post, but, something else that's maybe deeper, like a very deep fence post. I don't know. Those are the kinds of things that the risks, I guess, with venturing outside of the roadway. But then again, it's easier to maintain or turn valves out of the roadway than stopping traffic to go do that. So there's trade-offs. But those could be weighed against the cost when you see bids for each option too, So that's the thought
Do we have
underlying.
a guesstimate on what the testing would be to see how where the bedrock is?
Yeah, I think that would be, I think an allowance of 10,000 would be reasonable. You could get something with that. I mean, it depends on how much traffic control is needed and where the spots are. If we can find pockets where they don't need traffic control, like pockets of a driveway in the right of way or whatnot, or shoulder areas that are open, that would reduce the cost quite a bit. But
And
traffic control is
isn't there a
something.
fair bit along Odom at least that has a ditch alongside of it that you could kind of get a elevation on and compare that to the road?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. What did they figure? I'm trying to remember what number we heard in that meeting. But it was like a couple thousand at the low end to maybe 10 as a high end. So, yeah.
That email you got back when we were bouncing back and forth on that 24-inch pipe put it at $4,000 to $5,000
For what?
for the testing.
Oh, it was in there. Okay, there you
Wasn't
go.
there.
Yeah, that might be more like it. That's what we.
Right. And Kristen, what they're worried about with running it in the ditch, basically, there's quite a few trees there, and they just said, even though the trees are in the right of way, if they take, it's going to eliminate the trees, you're going to have a lot of pushback on that. And then
As Ryan was saying, there's a lot more chance that somebody else, a utility, a fiber op, somebody else is going to be digging in that right away on the
Sure.
side, where it's almost, if you hammer out a rock channel down the road, there's probably not very high chance of damage.
Yeah.
And that's what Taylor Northwest said. And the other thing is working on the road makes a problem with traffic control, but it gives you a level surface to work on. And the side of the road, if it's not level, then they have to level it up before they start digging.
So
And
then you have to repave the road after you've grind up the road too.
yes,
You do.
absolutely. And that gets
Yep.
expensive
And
fast.
that gets
Right.
expensive, yeah.
There's trade-offs to both. We're still looking into, just to catch up, we're still looking into the type of pipe which will be best and most cost effective to use. And I don't believe that's been decided yet, has
Definitely.
it?
No, but it the what's best for the whole alignment is what should be done for the early work package.
Right. They didn't want to run the first part in the C900 and the second part in the HDPE. So it that's another question that well that they're going to are you laughing at my acronym?
I was happy that you came up with them both.
Well, it's I'm working on that. I'm gonna have to write it on the back of my hand. Yeah, there's pros and cons, and Taylor Northwest was going to send it out for their pipe supplier to come up with some accurate numbers. The first set was done with C900. If as long as we're talking about it, that vault is a pretty complicated piece of equipment that I just really hadn't anticipated, but Ryan and I spent a lot of time. He sent me over the bids. I went over, and it's going to be significantly expensive to put that portion of it in. So we can't extrapolate what a cost per foot for pipe based on what that is, because it's going to skew the number terribly.
The vault and its components and the connections could be 25 to 50% of the total
Oh,
that
wow.
they figure.
And the total was $768,000 to get to, and that's not something we can take to the bank, but pretty fairly accurate.
That's to get it to the north end of the city of Redmond's property.
Right, but that included the vault, and the vault
Yeah.
is pretty, it's more extensive than I had anticipated.
So where are we with who's doing the work, and are they doing it under Redmond? Are we paying them back? Have we figured that part out yet?
We're working on an IGA
Okay.
addendum to our original IGA
Great.
so that we can make sure you have the necessary paperwork in place to get us money.
Yeah, thank you.
So that's a ballpark number of what it's going to cost. We have to s supply all the monitoring valves, connecting conduit and wire, and some sort of a plug-in thing to their master board. It's way more than
A lot.
it's a lot.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, we have to do that. And we went back, Ryan and I went back through the IGA, and we agreed to do that. So we have to. But that's it's gonna make that, what is it, 3,000 feet of pipe, Ryan, roughly? Yeah, so we can't take 768 and take 3,000 feet and divide and get a number, because that number's not going to be right.
Yeah, and it's for that contractor working next door, too.
Right.
you
Yeah.
know, for this portion of work. And
Right.
yeah.
So, I was really impressed with the amount of knowledge, the understanding of the project, and the thoroughness of Taylor Northwest. I just can't even imagine bringing another contractor in to do that kind of work, just to get them up to speed to understand what needs to be done. Would probably take, I don't know, a very long time. Don't you agree, Ryan?
Yeah, I think there might be another contractor that's also familiar with the system from the other side. Which would be
Okay.
Knife River at this point. They've
Yeah.
installed the system in town. And so there's at least two contractors that have a good handle on the system from opposite ends.
Well, I'm just talking about the part with the vault and
Oh, yeah.
the inner
Of
thing.
course. I mean that's a logical extension of the Redmond Complex property.
Right. I mean, to have someone else come in and do that and interconnect with that.
Oh
And
yeah. This is a
I'm
boost
not
for
talking
everyone.
about from Northwest Way to Highway 97, but for
Yeah.
this portion of the work, they have a very good understanding, a very good working knowledge, and they have to interface with at least two different subcontractors just on the electrical part.
Yeah. Yeah,
The
it's great. I can't imagine that part of work being done with the different contractor just because
No, it...
it's just much it's better coordinated being an extension of that project.
Right.
I mean, they're
So,
putting conduits in today for the
oh,
project.
good.
So yeah, it
It's
yeah,
happening. So
it's good
they're
collaboration.
just moving forward, which is
That's great.
a good thing. So it was a very worthwhile conversation, and the two people from Taylor Northwest were very professional and helpful.
That's awesome. Linda, did you happen to get any conversations with the school district yet? I see you, she's on, but she's muted. Oh.
Yes, I did. And
Okay.
what I'm doing is we're gonna send a meeting invite to Ryan, whoever on the board wants to be in it, and then we're gonna meet with them and just
Yeah.
go over everything. The problem that's happened, I don't know if you guys have. They were working on asbestos in the high school, and the vibrations released asbestos into the entire school except for like the gym and the tech area. So now they're having to close the school for a year except for those two areas, and they've got to put 20 plus modular classrooms out between now and the first is
This was the
so we
high
might
school, you
not be
said?
able this is a high
For Redmond.
school they for Redmond and so I don't think we're going to be able to meet until probably school starting with them but then we will be able to yeah
Okay.
they are just under the gun but they're great. I already talked to Ryan. We just need the survey and we can just send that over and then we're going to have a sit down meeting to talk to him.
Awesome. Okay. I was just checking in. All right. Well, that's all good. And Guy and Kristen, thank you for being there at the late 11th meeting. Hopefully that goes good. I guess we'll see you on the third Thursday. I don't know what number that is. We'll go then.
It's Guy's birthday.
I know, but I don't know
The
what day of the month it
20th,
is.
the 20th, the
Okay.
20th day.
Fine. All right. Well, I'm going to call it then. So let's close the meeting and go on about our days. Thank you, everybody.
Thank
Hey,
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye,
everybody.
Tim, can I assume I'm not getting a